Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, we're in our series called Dug Down Deep. As we're in this series, we're going to close it out because we're obviously starting a new year. And in this, I wanted us to explore Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a part of Solomon's writing. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived apart from Jesus Christ himself. So we're going to read through Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And I hope this doesn't depress you too much as we're looking into this. So let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Let's read it together. 1, 2. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself, but behold, this was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of men. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. The title of my message today is Chasing the Wind. Chasing the Wind. Father, I pray today that you would ignite within us a desire and a passion to see us not live this life void of purpose or to be awakened to why we're alive, why we're breathing. Lord, the great equalizer in this life is death, actually. And Lord, as sobering as that thought is, I pray, God, for an awakening today, that you would awaken us to purpose and reason as to why we are alive and on this earth. We thank you. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. I have this image of Carl Lewis here. When I was growing up, he was the fastest man on the planet. Now there's Usain Bolt and a couple other guys now that are neck and neck with Usain Bolt. But when I was growing up, I remember this guy in 1984. And I remember writing a piece of, we'll call it poetry, based on me watching this guy run. And Ecclesiastes, would you like to hear it? Thank you for the five of you who want to hear it. It goes like this. Congruent when I run right through it. 84 Carl Lewis, kick game like Hadouken. Get paid in trade. Look at what I made. When I'm dead, gonna watch it fade. And you know this, man. Head rush when I bust. Return to send the instrumental, accidental, destiny. This is a felony. This flow is sick. You check the remedy. Born, go to school, graduate, get a job, retire and die. And you call that a life. See it clearly, no confusion before you lose your left eye like TLC. We got a problem, Houston. I'm inundated with tasks and dates. I guess I'll get some rest on December the 32nd. Until then, I gotta keep on keeping on, because you don't know what you got till it's. The great equalizer in this life is death and time. We all have the same 24 hours in this life. And studies show at the great institution of Griffith University, a study was done that 100% of people die. That's right. That's where all your school fees go, to do these sorts of studies. The great equalizer in all of life is time and death. And I'm really sorry to bring such an uplifting message at the conclusion of 2018, but my heart, as I've been praying through this whole series, as we were preparing this series, was to land on this sobering moment of awakening us to the reason why you are breathing. And the question I have for you, are you living or are you breathing to death? I'll give you a better title for my message. It's actually here. Wind Chasers, Running to My Funeral. Now let's break down the scripture that we just read. I know it was a lot of verses, but I wanted us to begin to look at this wisdom that came from the wisest man in the Old Testament, Solomon. You remember him? Son of David, son of King David, king of Israel, who became the king. And God granted him, based on not just the favor of his dad, who was David, but also because he saw favor, he found favor in Solomon's life. And he said, you can have anything you want. And Solomon asked for wisdom, beyond riches, beyond anything else. He wanted wisdom, the wisdom of God. Yet, in that wisdom, he made some unwise decisions. How many of you know this dude would have been bankrupt during Christmas, having 700 wives and 300 concubines, or as they say in kids' church, 300 porcupines. He had 1,000 women to take care of. And some of you men are just looking at the floor, shaking your head. You can understand the stress on this dude. But as we begin to look at the life of this man and what he proposed that should be fulfilling for a man who has it all. How many of you have ever heard, like, maybe you're shopping for somebody in Christmas and you were asking yourself, what do I get for the person who has it all? Solomon truly had it all. But he sang the Whitney Houston song. Didn't we almost have it all? Like, he had it all, but he still found himself lacking, wanting. So let's look at what he describes as all. Firstly, he describes all as, like, in the sense of fulfillment. Come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. Now, I want you to, if you have your Bible out, remember those paper Bibles? Underline the word enjoy, okay? Because that's really important. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy means to find fulfillment. Enjoy yourself. How many of you know life is to be enjoyed? Like, you're meant to enjoy life. But think about this for a moment, okay? Like I said, time is the great equalizer. We have 24 hours in a day. Let's say that you are blessed to sleep 8 hours of those days. How many of you know that would be a dream to sleep 8 hours, especially, you know, look, all the parents. I don't know what you single people are putting your hands up for. It's your fault. It's on you. Put the PlayStation controller down and maybe you will get to, no, I'm just kidding. You're meddling now, Pastor Nelly. So let's say 8 hours, goes to sleep. You spend one-third of your life on average on a bed. That's why a mattress purchase is always one that you want to spend a little bit more money on. But then, so that leaves you 16 hours, right? And then of those 16 hours, how many of you work a job? Okay, great. Okay. How many of you go to school or university or something? Okay. Okay. So there's quite a few of us. Now think about this for a moment. For those of you who are in full-time work, which I would assume is most of you that put your hands up, or you're in school, you spend on average 6 to 8 hours a day, some of you longer, 10 hours a day in an office or at your workplace. How many of you think, okay, so that leaves a few hours left over to spend with family, to enjoy. But how many of you know you should enjoy your sleep? You should enjoy your job. Studies show in the States, right, I've shared this statistic before, 80 to 85% of people that are in full-time employment actually don't like their jobs. And I would venture to say that that is the same here in Australia. I'm just going to work this job for a season. It's amazing how long that season lasts. And then I will be able to enjoy my life in retirement or whenever it is. But how many of you know God intended for us to enjoy our lives while we're young, while we're older? He wanted us to. That's the whole point of eternal life, right? John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible. He says that he has laid his, he's given us his son so that we can have what? Eternal life. Same author of that same scripture in chapter 10, verse 10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come to give us what? Life, and life abundantly. Turn to somebody, tell them, you need to get a life. You just lost some friends there. This is my question, everybody. Are you enjoying your life? Are you enjoying your life? Your life was meant to be enjoyed. Now, let's look at what Solomon describes. And I want to venture to say this. There are two groups of people in here. Those of you who do know Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And those of you who don't yet know Him as your Savior and your Lord. And both of us are the same in terms of finding fulfillment. Because even for you, Christian, it's a fight to stay in the zone of enjoyment in your relationship with God where you are fulfilled by God Himself and not by the things of God. So let's look at this, okay? Verse 2 says, I said of laughter, is it mad and of pleasure? What use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I was just thinking about it because this month of December marks the month when suicide rate is actually higher than the normal, the average months, the other months. It's usually higher. And what should be the most joyous time? Then I began to think about this, you know, like what Solomon's getting at here is, okay, maybe you'll find fulfillment and joy and laughter. I mean, that sort of earthly joy. There's a difference, right? There's the joy of the Lord, which Nehemiah describes as our strength. But then there's also this joy, this resilient joy that it's not resilient. Maybe I'll put it this way. It's more like happiness, which depends on what's happening, right? I like comedy. How many of you like comedy? I love to laugh. But some of my favorite comedians have either committed suicide, have gotten into all sorts of drug issues, because the distance between the highs and the lows is so vast, because they feel like there's a sense of fulfillment and making people laugh. But when the noise turns down, and that's what happens in December, when maybe you aren't invited to those parties, and what makes it worse is social media not only puts it in your face, but it puts a filter on it, puts a filter on your enjoyment. Hashtag no filter on your sunset on the Gold Coast or the Sunshine Coast. I woke up like this. And so I, who look at that picture, should be celebrating with you. But I can't because I can't get there, or I can't because that's not happening in my life. And so what social media does is it props up this comparison. And so the difference between the highs and the lows is so vast. And what happens in the holidays is that the noise of life turns down and you can hear the screams of your soul for attention, for fulfillment. And if you're not going to get that fulfillment from God, which He promises us in the form of eternal life, then what ends up happening is that we start to feel this oppression, this depression, and this void that screams out for a Savior. And what Solomon is advertising here is there are so many functional saviors that we as both Christians, followers of Christ, and those who aren't yet followers of Christ, try to fill that void. And it doesn't have to be just drugs and alcohol and smoking and all the sins that everybody knows about. What about the things of God, the things that God does bless us with but cause us to focus on the thing that blesses rather than the one who blesses? It's interesting to see here that Solomon is, of all the 700 wives and the 300 porcupines that he has, we only hear of one of his sons. And the Bible props him up as a little bit of an egg, a little bit of a knucklehead, Rehoboam, you remember him? And so in this verse, when he's talking about the children of man, he's talking about, you know, sons like this guy. And Solomon obviously has this wisdom, but his life doesn't look that wise. And Rehoboam follows his actions rather than his words. How many of us as parents, or maybe as children of parents, who have said this phrase, do what I say, don't do what I do? And then even in discipleship, we'll put standards on the people that we're mentoring that we can't even keep up with ourselves. Because we've forgotten about the grace of God on our lives. We've forgotten that everything that I do in terms of me following Jesus is by his grace, through faith. It's not by me upholding some moral standard that I can't even keep, but I'm putting it on you. And that's what sucks out the enjoyment of our Christianity. Let's carry on here. In verse 4, it says, I made great works. This is Solomon speaking, right? I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. Well, this guy was in Brisbane for a season. Look, he's building houses. That's what we love to do. Watch the block and then try to imitate it, right? Verse 5, I made myself gardens and parks. Definitely a Brisbaneite. And planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. And this is what seals the deal, that he was definitely in Queensland. I made myself, how do we say it in Australia? Pills. That's how you can tell who a real Australian is. Ask them to say pools or schools. Pills and skills. I made myself pills from which to water the forest of growing trees. He makes himself the ideal Australian dream. He has a pill. He has a big backyard and can afford to put in a pill. He has made it. See, the Australian dream differs from the American dream and even the Asian dream. Like, the Asian dream is like, die, die, everybody must die, I must live. You know, like, the American dream is like, man, I'm just going to try to, you know, be as successful as possible. Australia's like, no, I'm sweet as, no, that's a Kiwi dream. I'll just enough to make me happy. I don't need this elaborate lifestyle. I just have, as long as I've got my pill, I'm cute, right? That's the Australian dream. It doesn't have to be all this elaborate. But we're even more deceived to think that that would fulfill us. So Solomon is saying, look, I am the richest dude on the block. I advertise it by the way that I live, but I'm not fulfilled. What are you trying to fulfill your life with? Ask this question, right? Ask this question of the people that are closest to you. For your husbands, ask your wife. And take a deep breath and swallow and listen to the answer. And don't get mad when she gives you the answer. And then ask for permission to do the same with your wife. Ask those who are close to you what you talk about the most. Is it your love for God? Now, I know that sounds religious and corny, but like, usually that what you're most excited about determines what's on the throne of your life, right? Dudes that are just one-word answer when it comes to the things of God, but you get them talking about the league. Oh, my God. We really miss JT at the State of Origin, mate. We need some of that North Queensland anointing. Or, you know, the sisters at Boxing Day sales. I'm just going to leave that there. I don't want to get in trouble. Not that passionate, but when it comes to advertising the Boxing Day sales, oh, my gosh, you are all over Instagram and Facebook talking about how special the special was. Where's the Jesus stuff? Where's God and amidst all that? I'm, you know, by saying this, it's going to sound like you need to love Jesus and enjoy him. Oh, okay, I'll enjoy him. Hey, Jesus, can we enjoy each other? That's not the way it should be. Let me ask you with regards to this. What's the role of your work, right? The role of your work. Is your career that which you talk about the most to the point where, and get this seeps into my job too as a pastor. I have to remember, and some of you heard me say this quip before, that it's so easy to get caught up in the work of the Lord, but forget the Lord of the work. Even ministry can be idolatrous. Talking about the work, talking about your work. I want to ask you today, do you talk more about stuff and things and the noise of life and that which God has blessed you with? Then you talk about the one who gave it to you. Love what Tim Keller says. I highly recommend his book, Every Good Endeavor, which talks about the place of work in our lives. He says this in his book. If our identity is in our work rather than Christ, success will go to our heads and failure will go to our hearts. What else does Solomon say? He says, I bought male and female slaves and power and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers. How many of you have hired singers at your house? Like, this dude must have been playing with some real Monopoly money, man. Like, he has singers. It doesn't say I've got singers. He said I got singers, right? Both men and women, many concubines, the delight of the sons of men, power. He had power. Then his fame started. He got famous. He got famous. He had a lot of Instagram followers, a lot of Twitter followers. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, and for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for my toil. Then I considered all my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. He had stuff. He had power and he had possessions. When I teach in worship seminars, especially when I'm speaking to men, I always tell them to look out for the perils of David as the greatest worship leader that we find in the Old Testament. Because he had the wrong 3G signal. And we call the 3Gs gold, girls, and glory. Those are the 3Gs that often start to seep into our lives, that we try to find fulfillment in them. Chase after money and stuff. Chase after the fame. Chase after lust. Lust, by its mere definition, is the insatiable desire that cannot be quenched. So you're into this form of pornography, but it just gets freakier and freakier because you can't put the fire out. It's like trying to put a fire out with lighter fluid. You can't do it. And you just find yourself chasing the wind. So I turn to consider wisdom. Now, again, he's talking, if you look at the Hebrew, he's actually talking about earthly wisdom. Wisdom, financial wisdom. Wisdom as to how to structure and manage your systems within your kingdom. Like, he's reading all the books by all the consultants and all of this. So he has this knowledge and wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Basically, my rewording of Romans 1 with regards to all of this is this: when the blessing becomes the purpose, beyond the one who blesses, we no longer live, we breathe to death. And you wonder why, for those of you who have already started to make New Year's resolutions. I asked my daughters last night. It was funny. I won't say which daughter. I asked one of my daughters, what's one of your New Year's resolutions? I want to spend less time on my iPad. That's a great resolution. Are you writing these resolutions down? Yeah, I'm writing it on my iPad. And you wonder why the average person, I said this last week, the average person keeps their New Year's resolution for 17 days. You know, that's why I'm trying to get in the gym now, because I know that the class is going to be cramped with all the people that are coming. Yeah, man, it's going to be a strong year. Problem is, in Australia, we have Australia Day. And by the time Australia Day rolls around, that's usually when the resolutions start to end, because you have the barbecue and stuff happens. And, oh, we'll try again. Then Valentine's Day, all the chocolates. Then I might as well give up by then. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the power of consistency and going deep in God. And I want to continue to ask you this question of, or at least propose this to you with regards to whatever resolution you have, faith goals you have for this new year. Remember, as Christians, we don't just come up with our own New Year's resolutions. We ask God what his resolution is for us. We start to listen to the prophetic words that have been spoken over our lives and start to read the word in terms of what God wants us to do in 2019. And then we are consistent in taking the steps. Let me give you a tip. If you don't schedule, it's not going to happen. So pull your schedule out. Some of you before today, before you even leave this room, you need to pull your planner out. Some of you are out of on your phone. Some of you have never opened that app. There is an app on your phone called a calendar. Wow, amazing revelation. Schedule time with God. Schedule time to do what you need to do. Now, here's your New Year's phrase that I want you to constantly keep in your mind. Eternal enjoyment. Everybody say eternal enjoyment. So here's the final question I'm going to leave with you as we're heading towards the close of this message. There's a difference between the close of this message and heading towards the close, right? Here's the question. I need you to ask this question of any decision that you make It can be major or minor, but just keep this question in the back of your mind. Is this going to set me up for eternal enjoyment with God? The reason why I bring this particular question up for you is that there is no purpose, no meaning in life if what you live for is the temporal stuff in life. Like I said, you're born, go to school, graduate, get a job, retire, and die. And you call that a life. That's not what God has for you. See, when you see the power of this eternal enjoyment and what God has called us to in this relationship that we have with God, you find true fulfillment. You don't need to put an Instagram filter on this fulfillment because it's raw and it's real. Oh, I got friends that keep it real. No, they're not real. Jesus is real. Unless Jesus is the center of that reality of those friendships and those relationships that you have, you'll always be putting filters. It's the human proclivity of our lives. We'll always be putting filters around our lives. I get it. Look, I grew up as a Samoan pastor's kid. I grew up around it. I grew up all the time. Like, my dad was a pastor. He's since gone to be with Jesus. But one of the things my dad taught me was that he was not my pastor at home. He was my dad. And it's something that I carry with my kids. But I would often laugh, you know, like we'd be driving around and then we'd pull up to the church and we'd see some of my uncles feel the need to hide their beer cans behind their backs and go, "Hey, Pastor, good to see you." I'm like, you're fearing the wrong person. It's only God that can provide this fulfillment. You think my dad's going to come? Yeah, no, don't worry. I didn't see that. Praise the, you know. And it's not like God wants to zap you and, you know, but like I'm here to tell you today, for those of you who are playing with fire in terms of like the way that you know, walk as a Christian when you're around Christians and then fool around in your relationships or fool around in terms of crossing lines that you don't need to be crossing, then your whole exercise of Christianity is not one of enjoyment. You live constantly in this land of permission. Do I have permission as a Christian to do that? You know what the Bible says? You're lukewarm. You might as well just go do it and be full on cold because you enjoy it. Just do it. But until you find that place of true enjoyment of God, true enjoyment of walking with Him, you're always going to love your sin more than you love God. And you need to choose instead of trying to put it behind your back and go, "Yeah, praise the Lord, guys." You know the language. And then for those of you who aren't following Christ yet, we're thankful that you're here, but we don't want to be a church that at least would hide behind our hypocrisy. I want to tell you that all of us in here, apart from the grace of God, we are hypocrites. I am a hypocrite apart from the grace of God given to me through the cross of Jesus Christ. He corrects my hypocrisy where I feel like I don't need to hide anything anymore. I am but a fallen man, but by the grace of God. Yes, I'm a pastor. Yes, I accept the responsibility to be your shepherd, to be your leader. But you know what? It doesn't make me any more righteous than you. It's like Liam Neeson. I have a set of skills. That's about it. Like, I've been anointed and have a set of skills that I have to impart to you. That's my choosing. But you're all chosen. You're all chosen to live this life. And you need to enter. And this is the reason why I bring this up to you. Heading into 2019, don't fool yourself by thinking that you can just live in this place of permission and not finding true fulfillment in God. Being in the venue of Christianity, but still chasing the wind and running towards your funeral. The great equalizer in this life is we're all going to die. So we ask the question, are you living or are you breathing to death? Life comes when you enjoy with an eternal perspective. I'm not just talking about enjoyment in the sense of, yay, fulfillment for a little while, because some of us are on vacations or we go on vacations and we come back from the vacation. How many of you know you need a vacation from your vacation after being on the vacation? How many of you have been there? Especially those of you with kids, you understand what I'm saying. Grace and peace be upon you. But I'm here to tell you today that there's no vacation that can fulfill you either. It's good to take vacations. It's good to be blessed. God gives some of us platforms to be able to be famous, but that fame should always point people towards Jesus, the true source of fulfillment. Because if you become that source, you become an idol, or you idolize that fame, and then that attention is drawn to you, and it's so subtle how that will creep into your life. I can tell you this because, and I've shared this before, I can tell you this as a preacher of this word and as a worship leader, that that has been an idol in your pastor's life. The work of God. I'm here to tell you today, man, God has set me free, and I pray that he'll continue to set me free to the point where I will be your pastor from a point of vulnerability, but by the grace of God, to be able to lead from this place of knowing that it's Jesus who truly fulfills me and is that source of joy of which I can impart to you, not just some legalistic guy that's just shoving all these moral rules that I can't keep by myself, but by the grace of God. This legalism, something that I hope to impart to these guys. See, I don't walk around my house with a pulpit everywhere I go. I try my best to impart enjoyment to them. I remember growing up, how many of you grew up and then it was like, it's time for devotions? In Samoan, we call that the loku, right? How many of you Samoans in here know about the loku? It's time for loku. Or you curl up in bed, pretend you're asleep, and then you get an even bigger, bam, get in there. I grew up dreading it, man. I mean, I praise God for loku because it taught me how to harmonize when I sing. But like, apart from that, I was just like, oh. And then my dad was a long prayer. It's like thanking God for everything, man. Thank you for this blade of grass. Thank you for, oh my gosh. Just thank him for everything in one sentence. Then let's move on. He knows. He knows. You don't have to remind him of every blade of grass. And I know that's a part of the reason why, you know, like most of us that grew up in Christian homes, I'm not prophesying this over anyone's life because I'm praying that this will never happen. I tried to walk away from the faith, but they had imparted too much of the word of God in my life that my religion kept ruining my sin. Talk to some girl trying to talk to her about, hey, man, I can't breathe because you take my breath away. You know, just then. Should just leave me on the ground dying. I didn't enjoy my religion at that time, but I enjoyed my Christianity because the word of God is a seed that will never return void, but will accomplish things for which it was sent. And my heart is, look, I know God is sovereign. I know God has it all in control. And I want to be the best picture of a father who enjoys his kids to my kids so that they know that they can enjoy a relationship with God. It's to be enjoyed. And something that, you know, my wife and I are constantly trying to do. There's a reason why Zion doesn't have a mask on, because if he had a paintbrush, he'd paint the everything. I said the porch, not the Porsche. And I'm here to tell you today, if you are living a life as a Christian and you're not enjoying your Christianity, you have two choices. You can either choose today to repent for your lack of enjoyment and ask God to restore the place of your first love and dig down deep, moving into this next season, remembering that this is the one thing that God calls us to strive for. It's a deep intimacy with God, enjoyment that is eternal. Or you can choose to say, you know what? I desire the things of the world, and I pray by the grace and the sovereignty of God, you would not make this choice. You would say, you know what? I'm walking away from it all because this desire for this thing will fulfill me. I'm here to tell you today that thing will not fulfill you. And my prayer is that you will make the right choice and you will choose to follow a God who fulfills you more than any relationship with some person can, more than family, more than jobs, more than ministry, more than just being able to travel and do different stuff, being famous, because it's in seasons like December that God turns the noise down and he says, what's on the throne of your life that's fulfilling you? And that's why walking into 2019, I should say, the question is yet again proposed. Are you living or are you breathing today?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.